Do you recognize these voices?
X squared plus X doesn't make much of a difference. This is for all of you looking at your working.
If you wear glasses, everyone is obsessed with trying them on.
That is maths educator Eddie Wu, musician Tash Sultana, and comedian Nat Tran. Even if you don't recognize their voices, they have a combined 5 million followers on YouTube with over 790 million views across their channels where they all started their careers. YouTube is 21 years old. It's long past the days of being full of meaningless cat videos. People who have gone on to make a genuine mark on Australian culture got their start there, which is probably why the National Film and Sound Archive last week announced they were inducting 10 Australian content creators, including the three voices you just heard, into the archive. It's a big step in recognising the cultural contribution of our digital world, but with technology and media appetites changing so quickly, how do we keep up? And most importantly, will my Facebook posts from 15 years ago ever make it into an archive? Well, you're about to hear from the head of the archive as well as a digital culture specialist, but I want to hear from you. What kind of videos do you watch online? What creator would you induct into the official archives? With me is Patrick McIntyre, the CEO of the National Film and Sound Archive, and Professor Nick Carra, Director of the Centre of Digital Culture for Digital Cultures and Societies at the University of Queensland. Patrick, I might start with you. What was behind the decision to induct these creators into the archive?
Morning. The National Film and Sound Archive, we are charged with collecting all forms of recorded sound and moving image. So that goes back to the 1890s, gramophone records, wax cylinders, all the way through. And obviously, for about the last generation or half generation since the advent of digital technologies, most recorded sound and moving image creation, distribution, consumption is all happening online on streaming platforms. And so we've been collecting sample videos from YouTube as far back as 2007, but we really realized that we had to step this up. We had to be more comprehensive in our collecting. We had to look at really collecting the makers having an outsized cultural impact. We needed to collect interaction data like likes, shares, and comments. And so we just decided to give YouTube a call. and that's how the creator capsule was born, was just a shared, you know, it's about time to really shine a light on the impact that content creators are having on the platform.
That's so interesting that you're including likes, shares, and comments in the archive, because of course that is part of the artifact.
It's right. And it's part of the, you know, we're a cultural archive. We're not really a technology archive. So we're looking for all the context around recorded sound and moving image that gives it its culture shaping power. And in previous eras, you know, we could collect reviews in newspapers or we could collect ratings data, but they're all kind of very industrial era types of evidence, of cultural evidence, whereas likes, shares, and interactions, that's Australians responding in real time and directly back to the creator and even amongst themselves.
So tell me about the decision to focus on a creator and their sort of whole channel rather than just an individual video.
We wanted to start collecting YouTube more as a phenomenon. So we had been collecting individual videos that responded to, for example, COVID lockdowns, or, you know, we're collecting them as evidence of what was happening in society as opposed to collecting them as the phenomenon of the platform itself. And, you know, where do you start? So that's one of the reasons why we wanted to talk to YouTube, was because they have knowledge of who's on the platform, you know, who's making waves, who's been having impact over a long period of time. And also, you know, working with YouTube on this meant that doors were opened a lot wider and more easily than if we'd tried to do this ourselves potentially. So we're looking for creators who were making high quality material, like a high standard of creative expression and originality and storytelling. We're looking for numbers unapologetically. We're looking for the people who are really reaching audiences across the country and really stimulating conversations. And we're looking for cultural stretch. So the thing about the platform is everyone's on there. Like, you know, networks network television is on YouTube now, as well as, you know, the people we think of who are, you know, beginners with an iPhone doing their own thing. And so we wanted to know, we wanted to capture the full range of channels and content out there. So, for example, you know, Glitch is an animation studio that now employs hundreds of people. Bounce Patrol, that's a kids channel. You know, they're now an international Australian kids brand, much in the way that the Wiggles are. And Natalie Tran was, interestingly, she was one of the very first kind of YouTube creators in Australia to make it big on the platform. Mm. So we're looking at all those different kinds of all those different kinds of cultural markers in an attempt to say, okay, we're going to start with 10. Where do we start?
Nick, when you heard that the National Film and Sound Archive were going to include Australian YouTube creators in the Hall of Fame, aka the archive, what were your thoughts?
One of my thoughts was it's kind of we're past the moment where we thought we'd just try and collect everything on the internet and put it in an archive. Do you know, if you go back 10 years, there was this sort of an attempt to say, like, should we capture everything Australians have posted to Twitter and put that in the National Library? And it's like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And then you realise that the internet is just so kaleidoscopic and so crazy and so ever-evolving that this kind of would defeat us both and have huge environmental costs, like the amount of energy you would burn keeping all of that stuff. And so now I think we're finally at the point where it's like, let's ask much more curatorial questions about what's important to put in the archive.
Isn't the internet already an archive?
No, the internet turns out to be like super ephemeral and particularly as our internet cultures move much more towards video and short video. It comes and it goes. And so it's not just literally that things disappear off the platform, but like whole platforms can disappear. Like if you think about all the things Australian teenagers did on Tumblr in the 2010s, and it's kind of gone.
Maybe that's not such a bad thing. You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor. I'm with Professor Nick Carra from UQ and Patrick McIntyre from the National Film and Sound Archive talking about the induction of 10 Australian YouTube creators into the archive that was announced last week. And I wonder who you watch on the internet, what videos mean something to you. If there's anyone that you would nominate to be inducted into this archive, Natalie Tran was the GOAT, one of the pioneers of skit comedy online. I remember seeing some of her early videos. They seem simple now, but they felt so fresh. Her drawing a six-pack on with a marker was peak humour in 2010. Another says, I'm here for the meaningless cat videos, not at all interested in adolescent egos. And David from Yipoon says, I Did a Thing is an absolutely incredible Australian channel. His projects are equally awe-inspiring and terrifying. He seems to know what he's doing, though, despite it making it look like he's about to hurt himself. Patrick, how on earth did you only choose 10?
Yeah, I mean, that was a question. It sort of picks up on what Nick was saying. You can't do everything, so you have to develop approaches to sampling what's happening on platform. And as it happens, it's what we've been doing with radio and television for decades anyway. Like, you can't literally copy everything that goes to air on Australian television. So we have been working out ways of, you know, rosters and tuning in. You know, we have a radio capture program which captures, there's a whole broad range of radio stations on the roster, and we capture every minute of Australian radio according to different stations across every day, and we have done that for years. So if you want to go back and find out what the radio news response was to a particular issue, we've got that captured in a number of different radio stations' voices and perspectives. The internet obviously boots that up a huge extent. So we are really self-consciously now doing declared sampling. Like, we have to document for future generations how we went about collecting decisions, because, you know, in generations gone by, the ideal of archiving was you just collect everything and the future decides what's important. Mm. But, you know, as Nick said, that's really not possible, and it's certainly not possible economically or environmentally in the present day.
Yeah, it's sort of like asking your kids to clean out your house once you're gone.
Yeah. That's the approach. It's more, it's why Capsule was interesting for us as well. I think partnering with YouTube has sort of elevated this conversation about cultural archiving in the 21st century, how we need to do it differently to accommodate for the sort of, you know, depthless profusion of of creation. It's one of the most interesting challenges we've got. And, you know, also, as Nick says, these platforms come and go. So it's not like waiting. You know, I think the sector waited like a good 40 years after video games became a thing to start kind of scratching our chins and going, they're culture, we should collect them. We don't have that amount of time with digital. It comes and goes too fast.
It's funny you mentioned video games as an example, because really taking video games culturally seriously was what we were talking about just before. Nick, do you think people take culture generated on the internet more seriously now than we used to?
I think it's probably partly a generational story, but I think like the idea of saying like culture generated on the internet is something special or new to like a whole generation just makes no sense. Do you know, like, culture and the internet are sort of inseparable?
Mm.
So I think like, yeah, there's whole audiences now when they think about what Australian, their experience of Australian culture was growing up, they think of YouTube. Do you know, they don't think of broadcast TV or broadcast radio. It's already the case, I think.
So, Patrick, what are the key things you're hoping to capture and preserve?
Look, it's life as lived in Australia. I think that's the main thing. And so some of the, Glitch is it's an animation studio, like, and most of the views come from overseas, and they are now like a production house pumping out things into the cinema ecosystem as well. Whereas other people like, you know, Superwog, for example, they started out doing skit comedy, they now do touring live shows. So we're looking at things that kind of talk to what's happening on the platform, but how, you know, it informs other modes of cultural expression and vice versa. As Nick says, online culture is actually culture. Like, it's where these conversations are happening now.
I'm loving your texts. Someone's voting Michael West for the Archive, the independent journalist. Raka Raka got their start on YouTube with homemade special effects and are now making cinema release movies. So people move through there. Another says, I think that they should archive Keith, a music video by Playlunch. It's a great portrayal of Aussie suburban life. Everyone knows a Keith. This video has 1.5 million views on YouTube right now. I will say, if you're going to watch it, make sure there are no kids in the room. It's a bit spicy, mm-hmm. but it's very funny. Patrick, you're going to put Keith on in the archive?
Sure, why not? I'm taking notes.
I love it. It's like, yeah, fine, put it in the archive. You must have, what's the filter? Like, if someone's coming up to you at a dinner party, Patrick, and be like, I think you should put my son's YouTube on in the archive, how do you decide?
We have curators. So we've got a curatorial workforce, and their job is to really keep tabs on what's happening in terms of audiovisual technologies and cultural expression. So it's a kind of a constant monitoring, research and outreach activity for the archive. But, you know, someone's kid's video, that is collectible. You know, all of those instances of publishing on the platform are instances of cultural expression that people in 50 or 100 years' time might find interesting. I always think back to like 19th century pamphleteers. Like, people were like handing out crazy pamphlets on street corners the whole time. You know, they didn't take them particularly seriously. They weren't really collected by libraries or museums because they're ephemeral and disposable. But a lot of, you know, female suffrage, a lot of issues were actually being tested, rehearsed and distributed on pamphleting as a platform in its day. We've lost those voices now. And wouldn't we love to know how people were actually kind of approaching those sort of seismic cultural changes generations before they happened? That's kind of the thing. So we want to collect stuff that is beautifully crafted and well produced and has high numbers. But we've also got to just be tuned into some sense of what the marginal voices are doing, what the people working way outside the system are doing. We also at the archive, through our sampling procedures, collect a lot of stuff that, you know, is either offensive now or will be in the future, because that also is painting a picture of who we are now, so that people who come after us can understand how things turned out.
Well, Patrick, Nick, thanks so much for chatting with me. Patrick, I think you should include a Life Matters episode or two in the archive. Patrick McIntyre is the CEO of the National Film and Sound Archive. Professor Nick Carra is the director of the Centre for Digital Cultures and Societies at UQ.
ABC RN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.